Hi, and welcome to episode 49 of Fresh Out of Tokens podcast. This is Tanya, also known as Cipher of Tear all over the internet. And to my virtual right, as always, is my co-host and producer, David, if you would like to say hello.
Hello. How's it going?
Good. A little busy, a little frazzled, but, you know, that's my constant state of being at this point. And I am so, so excited to have Ash with us, also known to many of you as Lady Insanity. If you want to say hey, Ash.
Hey!
Thank you so much for coming on the show and for giving up part of your weekend for us since we are not recording at our usual time.
Oh, good. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. So let's get our usual kind of this is who we are thing out of the way for new listeners, and then we can jump into questions. So for those of you listening, we have teas and other items in the iNiverse Games Spreadshirt shop, where we split the profits 50-50 with Chachibo Binks, and there's a blog to complement our show. So you can follow us over at outoftokenscast.com. If you have questions, want to be a guest, have thoughts about a guest, especially if you want to say anything for our upcoming one-year anniversary episode, drop us a note at freshoutoftokens@gmail.com. You can also add us on Twitter at outoftokenscast, or just say hey to either one of us. Our Twitter handles are in the footer of the show. And our musical accompaniment is provided by Mike Moody. You can hear more of her work at soundcloud.com/Mike Moody. -1. And with the boring administrative stuff out of the way, let's talk about you, Ash. So for those listening, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Cool. So my name is Ash, Ashley Soriano. I basically, oh, and also I'm known as Lady Insanity on the interwebs. And I do a couple of things. So I guess my official job title is, I work for the content marketing team at Twitch. So Twitch is that big site with purple all over it, and also I handle the global promotions for our front page, so that's what my job entails. Other than that, I make a bunch of videos on YouTube, which are mainly centered around Bioware games, so Mass Effect and Dragon Age, and also Star Wars The Old Republic.
Very cool.
So one thing we wanted to ask about is, what got you into making videos for BioWare games in particular?
Pretty much, I really loved Mass Effect, and the third was coming out, so I was already doing videos in general on YouTube, so Skyrim, I did videos on that for Bethesda, and I also did esports content, so mainly with Halo and Call of Duty. And I figured, why not make Mass Effect videos too? So, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the channel Fluffy Ninja Llama.
I am, actually.
Yeah. I did content similar to them, and, like, basically capturing all the cutscenes, which was, like, she does it, like, as a full-time basis. I did it, and I burned out so fast. Basically, I started doing that, and then I started making machinima around it, which was basically, like, I made my own companion stories. Like, some people make fanfic. I decided to make it, like, with the actual assets from the game, mm-hmm. And I ended up just doing more videos.
That's really cool. Well, I know you do other stuff besides make BioWare videos and things related to BioWare games. Like, you stream yourself, is correct? Mm-hmm. So beside, you know, machinima videos and streaming, like, you know, kind of what do you do when you're not in front of a camera or, you know, doing stuff at your day job at Twitch?
I do other things.
Yeah, I think you do other things.
I guess I have dinner and, no. I mean, most of what I do is gaming. I go to work, I'm thinking about games. I come home, I'm thinking about games or I'm playing games. I guess the only difference is sometimes I play non-BioWare games, so I think here, I'm playing Fallout 4 right now, and I was halfway through Dreamfall Chapters. Like, everything I do is just video games in general. I guess the only thing I do other than that is travel.
Okay.
So, yeah.
What would you say has been some good things that have come from being a part of the BioWare fandom? Do you have anything in particular that you really like about the BioWare fandom?
probably the people I've met. I mean, it's one thing to enjoy the game itself, but it's a completely different experience to enjoy it with others. So, like, the BioWare community in general is huge. I mean, Cypher, I met you because of the BioWare community.
Yep.
And, yeah, and it's just, like, a lot of people, you know, they'll share with you, like, their own art or their own stories. And I've collaborated with so many people, like, with Ability Drain and GamerMD, and, like, it's just, like, kind of overwhelming now I think about it, but it's just, like, you really work with a lot of people within the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it makes the game so much more fulfilling, I guess is the best way of putting it.
That's awesome. I mean, it's what I pointed to in my my article about finding community in gaming, because, you know, as much as I love BioWare and I love the community, it's really my other fans that have kept me in it. You know,
mm-hmm.
We both know that there are subsets of fans where it's like, I'm going to pretend you're not here.
Sure, I know that life.
And you're just like, y'all stay in your corner, I'm going to be over here, we'll be okay.
It's okay, we cool, but you stay over there, but we cool.
Exactly. But yeah, that's really awesome, because, like, that's how I came across your work, and David's a BioWare fan, more on, like, the Knights of the Old Republic side.
It's true.
But it feels like if you mention any kind of a BioWare game, someone, if that's their jam, is going to have heard of them and, like, be, oh, yeah, I like this game or I like this character. So That's really, really cool. And so as we've established, you work for Twitch. So I was just wondering, how did that happen? Because it feels like I blinked and suddenly you were working for Twitch.
Dumb luck.
Okay.
No, for me, like, I've never had the intention of working for Twitch, like, ever. I've been part of Twitch since it was JustinTV/gaming.
Oh, wow.
Like, all the way back then. So I've been watching since then. I even streamed back then, but it was very inconsistent. But regardless, like, it just happened to be one of my old roommates. He needed to fill a job, and I looked at the actual requirements, and I was like, oh, I can do that. And then somehow I ended up working at the company. And I don't know, it's fun because it's like a lot of people that I know there, I've known for years, like almost a decade at this point. So it's like really like relaxing to be part of a team that you know these people, or they're just like really but really like into games in general.
Yeah.
It must have been a fun transition.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you've noticed about the differences between working for Twitch rather than just being someone who streams and watches, who uses Twitch?
Lots of purple, and it always comes back to purple. I think, let me think here, as far as, like, streaming versus working for the company, I mean, a lot of it, well, for what I do, I mainly work on front page, and, like, I deal with all of our global promotions, and, I mean, what I do as a streamer and how I watch the site is pretty much, I was about to say a word, but I can't actually say it, so it basically syncs up with what I do as a job, so I'm just basically doing the same plus another 10%. Okay, no, more like 50. But what I do is basically keep tabs on the community and still get engaged and communicate with everybody that is a partner or is a broadcaster or anything of the sort. So it hasn't really changed as much. JTB, of course, has changed like infinitely since then, but I think it's just been pretty much the same, except for way more people.
Okay. Now, it's always interesting because the other thing I wanted to ask, and, you know, this is, you know, kind of personal interest for me, but also I'm just always curious about it, is how you navigated that transition from being, like, a fan, then really well-known, a super fan, or as some people call it, a BNF big-name fan, to now working for Twitch and having the connection you do with BioWare. How has that changed how people, like, kind of see you as, you know, there's Ash, there's Lady Insanity, there's the Twitch person that, you know, because I've seen people like, oh my god, you work for Twitch, and you're like, yes, it's a job. How have you navigated that, and how have people changed, like, how they interact with you?
Well, I mean, this job kind of fell on my lap. Like, I didn't really go into it thinking, I'm going to work for Twitch now. I'm going to act like I work for Twitch now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people have been pretty chill whenever they see, like, oh, you work for Twitch. Like, yeah, it's actually pretty cool. And, I mean, a lot of people have been asking more about advice on their own channels, which is actually, like, pretty cool. Like, being like, oh, man, so you have both sides of, like, the spectrum. Okay, help me out. And in most cases, I'm like, yeah, I can help. So a lot of people have been really cool about it. I still go into chats, though, and people will go, oh, my God, staff, hide the Wii. It's pretty chill in general.
Cool. Well, what about the transition from, like, being, like, a fan to being, like, a super well-known fan, especially, like, on the BioWare side? Because you know a lot of the BioWare devs, and you get a chance to kind of hang out. Because I remember you were streaming, like, during the launch for Inquisition, mm-hmm. and you were there with the BioWare devs. And as we know, like, when you make that transition from, like, just a fan to the level that you're at, it can kind of change how people perceive you. So I was wondering, like, how you navigated that as well.
So there's a few ways to answer that question, I guess, because whenever you are a fan, it's actually, like, pretty cool. Like, you know, you have a lot of people that are, like, really chill, and they're like, oh, yeah, I like that thing, too. But whenever I started making videos, and BioWare, you know, shared a lot of love for my content, and they had me on for the BioWare, the release as well, and let me think here, like, the New York Comic Con Cantina and, like, other events, like, people will be like, oh, crap, okay. And it's, like, it's really heartwarming, but at the same time, there's 80% love and 20%, like, people who kind of discredit what you do sometimes because you're so close. And, I mean, I can get it because some people really like the games, but they, I don't know how to express it really well. I mean, there are some people who really, like, preserve the games in their own way, in their own canon, and the way that I describe it isn't always going to be indicative of their experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just basically, like, for what I did the lore videos, for instance. Some people had their own perception of it. I just did as best as I could, explained as best as I could. And, I mean, with my theories, I have my own visions, but other people don't. That's totally fine. We all have our own thoughts on the games. Some like it, some don't. Some like certain things, and some people don't. I mean, we're all within a community,
mm-hmm.
and we all have our thoughts, and everyone's totally cool for it, so. I just enjoy it.
That makes total sense. That makes total sense. Because it can be a difficult transition for some people. So, like I said, that was just more curiosity on my part. But, you know, kind of also, I guess, professional curiosity as well. Since I'm kind of in that weird, people know who I am, but I'm mm-hmm. still like, hi. I'm still the same person who likes Dragon Age.
Yeah, I'm like, it's funny because people think, like, oh, you, like, do, like, I know you know this. And it's just like, yeah, but I'm still, like, some nerd in the back who's kind of, like, typing, you know, like, paying attention. Like, I'm still reserved pretty much, and I just like the games.
Yep, totally.
So you have a huge following on social media, and you still make BioWare content. How do you find a balance, especially when you have to sometimes travel and be out among the community?
I generally don't. I'm no. A lot of what I do is directly connected to gaming. So if I go to a PAX or an E3, generally it's because I'm going to be doing BioWare content. Let me think here. I went to Japan last year. That wasn't at all involved with BioWare, but it was like more of like a learning experience within the gaming industry. So I got to, it's kind of like part of my job in a sense with Twitch, because it's like I get a better perspective of, for instance, when I went over there, I went to see the Japanese scene for indies. And it's just like, well, in any case, like, even if I'm not communicating on specifically BioWare content, it's kind of like I'm making sure I get enough perspectives from all sides. So I have that mental balance of what I'm doing rather than just being like having my nose dug deep into BioWare stuff. Admittedly, I took a long hiatus after Inquisition and Trespassers DLC, because, oh man, that was really bad. Because, I don't know, the DLC was good, but I burned out pretty hard.
Yeah.
Because there was so much content to do, and I was just like, I need a break. And 1 month turned into 2 months, and 2 months turned into four, and anyway.
I think we all know how that goes.
In any case, I don't know, it's just like, now, at this point, in order to have a balance, I'm just trying to keep my head straight while I do other things rather than Bioware. So that...
I gotcha.
Yeah. Instead of just being like, oh my god, Mass Effect, oh my god, Dragon Age, oh my god, oh my god.
I gotcha. And taking a break is good, because I've kind of really dialed back my hardcore involvement in fandom, especially after some reactions to posts I've made recently.
Which posts?
I had some ponderings about... Okay, so, well, I made two posts. One was, reblog this one if you are a person of color or POC, mm-hmm. and play POC characters like Warden, Hawk, Inquisitor. Mm-hmm. The other was, if you are not a person of color, reblog this post. That was it. Literally two lines, each post. And I revisit it, or it comes across my dash. And the if you're a POC, playing POC characters post has gotten a third of the response rate as the other one. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of noticed it. And there was also a lot of, here's all this extra shit I did not ask for. Like tag essays that are longer than the original post. Or, you know, explanations about why they play a POC Inquisitor. Screenshots. And, you know, these mental gymnastics to justify being a white person playing a character of color.
Uh-huh.
That weren't asked for. And so I've kind of pondered about it. And I did a summary post. That's got some attention. Some of it negative attention.
Hmm.
And then I had a lot of, well, you should write a paper. And I was like, no, I will write an article if someone pays me, but I am not doing an academic paper because it is not a reliable research method for one thing. And two, there's no institutional review board and no one consented to this for me to do an academic piece on it. So yeah, things like that where we can't have nuanced discussions on race mm-hmm. or certain things in fandom. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to go back to my corner. I'm just going to keep making really good looking Inquisitors. And, you know, enjoy my corner fandom. Goodbye. So, yeah. And then, you know, I mean, you know the reaction to the tweets I had during GDC. I was like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm done. Taking a break. I need a break from all y'all.
Yeah. It kind of stinks in that way. Like, whenever you have, like, a certain reaction or a thought about Bioware content or just in general content itself, and then you make that opinion, and then you forget that the community will be watching.
Yeah.
The thing is that one person will respond, and it'll be like, give or take like 2 to 4 paragraphs if they really like feel adamant about something, which is totally fine. But you compound that because the Bioware community is so like integrated with each other, and it's like you see dissertations everywhere, and you're like, I can't handle this. I don't have the mental capacity in order to handle this. I respect your opinion, and I will go to a corner because I can't process this. And I totally understand exactly where you're coming from. Like, it's very... There's only so much you can handle before you blow
up. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and I'm going to preface this for those listening, that this is strictly a fan pondering to another fan about Mass Effect Andromeda. Because EA Play is coming up, because for those that don't know, EA has pulled out of E3.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having their own event the same weekend in LA. And we haven't seen a lot about Mass Effect Andromeda. We'll probably see something at EA Play, hopefully cross all the fingers. But since we have so little information to go on, I was wondering, strictly as a fan, what is it you hope to see in the next game?
So, I can't say much on Andromeda, but I really hope that Bioware takes a lot of the feedback of what made Inquisition great or made it horrible. Like, the hissing waves. I keep on saying this recently. I just hate the hissing waves so much. God. But that they implement that feedback into Mass Effect and, like, they roll with it. Because, like, that's what made the feedback from Dragon Age 2 being pushed into Inquisition, that's what made it way better than it was. And I, like, for instance, like, the feedback that came from Dragon Age 2, it improved Inquisition by so much. EA gave them, like, that extension on their deadline, and it's just, like, I'm very happy that, like, feedback can be used in such a way in order to, like, promote a better game. And, like, that's like the main thing. Other than that, I probably would say I hope BioWare maintains the relationship they had with content creators, like with the podcasters, with cosplayers, with artists, the fanfic writers. Like, I really hope they stay so close to the community. Like, the Dragon Age developers are hilarious. They are very, like, you know, receptive to the community. But, like, I'm trying to think what was the best stuff that they did. Like, Dragon Age Keep, everybody was involved with that. The beta, like, there were so many of, like, the fans that got involved. It was, like, really tight. Like, we had the forums. Another idea that they had that I think just came way too late was the Dragon Age Tavern, which was basically, like, a hub of fan art and videos and everything like that. If that was there whenever Dragon Age started, I think it would have been a much better product. But those are basically the two things I really hope happen within BioWare. I know it's not, like, game-specific, but, I mean, I really hope that, like, they step it up with community and also basically improving on what they did with Inquisition, Dragon Age, and moving into Mass Effect. So those are the two things I want.
Great. I just want, I mean, I don't think we'll get it, but I was hoping for a chance to play something other than a human, just like how we went back to that in Inquisition, where you could be more than a human.
I know, right? I wanted to play as an Asari so bad.
I know. Oh, well. We've got till next year to wait. It'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get carried away, because I know that between me and Ash, we could probably get carried away about anything BioWare all night. David, do you want to ask the next question?
Sure. The next question is a perfect change of pace away from BioWare. Just kidding. We wanted to ask, what is your favorite Mass Effect game and your favorite Dragon Age game? What is your favorite of each out of the two trilogies?
Mass Effect 2, for sure. I think the suicide mission and letting you choose what companion did what at certain times was amazing. I don't know, there was definitely, like, the sense of urgency whenever you're dealing with, like if you didn't go and fight the collectors at that certain moment, you were basically killing off your crew. I wish that was in, I hope that is in future games, instead of just being like, oh yeah, I can stand around while Earth is getting destroyed. Like, no big deal. But, that's me. And then, Dragon Age, I like Origins a lot, and there's so much to it, and it's just an amazing game.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
No, that's not a bad interesting. I usually don't hear people say Origins is their favorite. They usually either go DA2 or DAI.
I don't blame them for 2. Inquisition was good, but it was definitely not my favorite out of all. 2 was amazing for that human, the human experience that, I hate saying it like that, the human experience, but it's just, like, family experience. That's a better way of putting it.
Yeah, DA2 is very much a family story. The family is not always great, but it's what you got.
It's what you got, and you just roll with it, for sure. They only had 10 months to work on that game. Like, holy crap, that was really well done.
Wow, I thought it was a year. I didn't realize it was just 10 months.
10 months, that's what I heard. But they did a good job. Like, I mean, okay, not mechanically and not with that one cave that was used, like, repeatedly. But with the characters, yeah, I completely agree. They did some really good work there.
The character writing is some of the best writing I have ever seen. By the time this goes to air, people have heard our episode with Meg Giants, but she referenced the autonomy of the NPCs in Dragon Age 2 in her talk about NPCs at GDC this year, and she also brought them up in other talks about, you know, how well they're written and the way that they develop. So, yeah, DA2 is some of the strongest writing I think I've seen in a video game in a long, long time. DAI, you know, I finally come to like my Inquisitors, but I will go back to Kirkwall in a hot second.
Same. So. Or at least drag the other companions from that game and then put them into the world.
Exactly. So we talked about travel a little bit. You know, I got a chance to see you briefly at PAX East because I know you were super busy. As part of your Twitch duties, are you going to be going to any other conventions? You know, TwitchCon, obviously, but what else are you going to do, maybe?
I am going to E3, so I'm going to be there for E3 and EA Play, and I'm planning on PAX, for PAX Prime.
Yay!
Yeah, PAX Prime is just too much of a fun show to miss, even if there were not any, like, BioWare stuff on there. It's just, PAX, I like, I like Seattle a lot. But I can't think of any off the top of my head right now, because TwitchCon is obviously going to be a thing. I don't know. It's like, for me, I feel like I have to take a vacation that isn't related to gaming in any sense. So other than those events, I don't have anything scheduled yet.
Awesome.
Oh, I'm going to Mass Effect New Earth. Eventually. <You'll have> to... Like, probably in the week.
I'll have to watch for your video on it. I'm so not a amusement park person, so I have very limited enthusiasm for it, but I look forward to your comments on it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm just kind of worried that there's going to be too many people because it just opened. So I'm like gauging, like, do I go on a weekday? Do I brave the Saturday crowd? Not really.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Mentioning conventions, is there anything exciting coming up for TwitchCon? Well, anything that you're allowed to talk about. If you're not, well, we understand.
So, my team is working closely with the TwitchCon team. I mean, I can't really go specifically into it, but there are a lot of good panels that got suggested and approved. And there are a lot of changes that are being implemented from the original TwitchCon, because last year was our first one. So, I mean, we've just been basically listening to a lot of feedback, implementing that into the next one, and the ones that are, like, directly on the team, they're excited. They're overworked, but they're excited.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Can you, like, give a very broad scope of kind of topics that might come up at TwitchCon?
I don't know if I can talk about most of the panels that got approved. But, there's a huge spectrum within not just, like, the streamers that are there, but also the industry itself, I think, as well, inclusivity. So I'm really excited for what's to come.
Cool. Well, sadly, TwitchCon and GamerX are the same weekend this year.
I know. Why?
I'm so salty about that.
At least TwitchCon's going to be streamed, right? So
yeah, so when,
watch
I'm,
it later.
So when I'm not on panels or at a panel, I can catch TwitchCon. But, you know, we've asked you a lot of awesome questions. Hopefully you thought they were awesome questions. Mm-hmm. But I was wondering, other than going to the Mass Effect ride, what's up for you? Like, anything, any cool personal projects, stuff like that that's going on for you?
I've been working on the same theory for Dragon Age since Trespasser came out. And I put it off to the side for a very long time, but I think I'm reaching the finality of it. So I'm working on that. I'm basically, other than that, I'm just working towards E3, because, I mean, let me rephrase, working towards EA Play, because that's going to be, the EA conference is probably going to be the, what we've been waiting for kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, So I'm prepping for that. Those are the main things on my list, other than I'm starting to do way more videos and also streaming.
Cool. Well, hopefully I can catch your stream. I feel like I always miss your streams because of our time difference.
Yeah, it's no biggie. Like, I've just been doing Saturday streams for now, getting a sense of, like, if that works with everybody's timing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this has nothing to do with any of the questions we have for you, but is there a way to kind of see metrics of, like, when there's, a quote-unquote good time to stream, or is it just kind of, like, everyone's out there and you find your niche?
When it comes to Twitch, like, it's a global audience, right? Like, it's not just, you know, America, or it's not, like, Europe. It's everybody. But I will say that in the mornings within the United States is probably a better time, because you get the Europeans as well. They're awake during that time. Mm. And it's just like you get more people that, you know, I think also it depends on what game and what community you're part of, because, for instance, I found that a lot of BioWare fans, if they're not American, they're from the UK in that general sense. So whenever I stream in the morning, they're like, oh my god, I caught it. Like, they actually had they actually are there in order to get the to watch the stream. So, I mean, that's my advice.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we finally got through all of our questions. And our community came through with a bunch of questions for you. Okay, so our friend Laser Sushi, also known as Mina, who is a big BioWare fan herself and in the UK, so you quantified your data. But she wanted to know if you had any experience/tips on how to become a partner in Europe, and she's in Germany, and so she apologized that I was super specific, but she was curious because most Twitch partners have lower figures than North American counterparts.
I can't really talk about, like, specifically, like what constitutes, like, for, like, a Twitch partner, and, like, why is one partner a partner versus another person who may have the similar, like, following or anything like that. I mean, when it comes to, like, I'm not specifically on the partnerships team.
Oh, okay.
I do work with them a lot, so they do have a lot of factors that go into it. If you go to the Twitch site, they definitely have, like, the broad, like, what we look for in a partner, this amount of viewership or what kind of community or anything like that. But before I started working at Twitch, I was a partner. And for me, like, there was a lot more to, less about what I did at Twitch, and, or, I mean, less about, like, my following about Twitch, and more about what I did as a partner, like, what I did, like, with my content. That's what I meant to say. Like, I did a lot of Bioware content, I was very centric around the community, so they looked at that and said, okay, we'll give you partnership. I mean, if I were to give a few things of advice, though, for anyone who's, like, trying to figure out, like, what would compose a Twitch partner in general, consistency, that is, like, the key thing, because obviously we always want to promote people who stay on the site and who continue their content and who are very active. Also, extend beyond your community, like, work with others, collaborate, because, for instance, I am part of the partners Discord as well. There are a lot of people who work with each other and, you know, they want to do streams, they want to do, like, co-casting, they want to do podcasts or D&D, for instance. Like, it's cool to be part of your own community and to, you know, strengthen that community, but at the same time, it really does, like, wonders for you if you work with others and if you try to do that. And I think this is mentioned on the bottom of the actual partner application, but also if you have something special about you, make sure we know about it in your application. I mean, if you have a world record for doing something, or if you're, I don't know, you took first in an esports event, or you have a huge following somewhere else on Twitch. I mean, or, oh, for instance, like, if you're a creative or you are doing amazing work with cosplay or prop making or anything like that, let us know. Because, you know, if you are broadcasting that on Twitch and we think your content's great, we want to strengthen that. We want, you know, you on the site. That's a lot, I know.
Oh, no, that's totally fine. And, you know, considering you're not even in the partnership team, that's way more. You know, that's really cool because, like, I have no illusions to ever getting partnered because I don't put in the work to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because I you know, I kind of wondered if there was a difference in, like, the UK audience versus the North American audience and how that worked. Because I can't think of anyone I know overseas who actually is a partner now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm just not following the same people.
I think, like, personally, the people I know that are European and that are partners, there's a lot of them that are, like, either... It's kind of funny, because a lot of them are either involved with esports or they're involved with creative.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a niche that works and, you know, you're really, like, passionate about it, I mean, you know, sky's the limit. I don't see any problem, like, if you are willing to put in the work, I mean, we're willing to help. Let us know what makes you shine, like, why we should partner you, why you think, or rather, not why we should, but, like, what, why do you think that you would benefit from a partnership, and what makes you sparkle on the site, and always let us know. I mean, it's something that, you know, is probably not, like, on the partner's mind, is that there's always a human looking at the applications. There's always a lot of them. So if you have something that distinguishes you from the rest, just let us know. That's probably, like, the big thing.
Laser Sushi also asks, in general terms, do you have any tips for applying at Twitch that would be appreciated as well?
If it's for working at Twitch, oh man. So if you're an engineer please send us your resume. Don't even ask and just give it. We always need engineers. Be sure to check up on our listings. So it's like at twitch.tv/jobs. We always have listings, not just for engineering, but like everywhere on the site. Even if you don't know games, we have a lot of people who didn't even know what Twitch was before they came onto the site. And now like, there's so many of them that are like embedded into Twitch and like the culture and even just the site itself. So never fear that, you know, you aren't hip to the to what Kappa is or like any of like the crazy emotes. I mean, if you think that you are good at your job, that you can be good at your job, just send the application and take it from there.
Okay.
But yeah, we need engineers, like, please.
So those engineers listening, please send your resume to twitch.com. Our friend and small fave, Pringtella, first says hi. She wanted me to make sure I said hi.
Hi, Pring.
And then her first question was, what is your favorite BioWare romance and why?
I think I have a habit of freaking going after like the tragic romances. So like, for Dragon Age 2, I love Anders. For freaking Dragon Age Inquisition, I love Solas. For the Old Republic, I love Malivai Quinn. Like, it's stupid. I love the ones that make you, like, struggle within that romance that you try to... I don't know, it might be a thing of, like, I love to help them achieve their goals kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, like, you know, they're taking on the world by themselves. I think that's why I like it so much. Like, I love those characters. I think if I had to pick one, then it's Anders. I mean, even with blowing up the Chantry, like, I don't know, his story is endearing. And that cat.
Yes.
He's a fun cat.
Sir Pouncelot.
Sir Pouncelot.
Pringtella also asks, what is your favorite type of cheese?
Man, she just has to ask a cheese question. Oh, boy. White American? I don't know. Whenever I was living at home, my parents always used to get this one kind of Philly cheesesteak that had white American, and it was delicious. So yeah, that's my answer.
Okay. Oh my god, I'm just cracking up because I'm imagining her face as she listens to this. And then our last couple questions is from our friend Tim, our usual suspect, who when no one else comes through always has a couple questions for our guests. But he wanted to know, which BioWare franchise, past or present, has your favorite lore?
Dragon Age, hands down. I mean, technically Star Wars, but that's, like, cheating. So,
okay.
But Dragon Age has probably the most compelling lore, especially with the revelations with the Descent DLC, with Trespasser. I mean, hell, they, like, went all out for Inquisition DLCs. So, yeah, Dragon Age.
Oh, that was the fastest answer I think we've gotten out of anyone.
Tim Thane, 1982, also asks, I get a lot of also asks today, if you could bring a BioWare franchise back or put it back in their hands, which one would it be?
Going back to Star Wars, Knights of the Old Republic. My god. If Coder could come back, it doesn't even... I don't even know. Like, it's harder because the Star Wars movies are actually in progress right now, but I would just love to have Knights of the Old Republic back in some way. Or a remaster. That'd be amazing.
Oh, cool. That would be pretty sweet. And then Tim's last question is one that took me by surprise because it made me admit I don't know as much about you as I thought, but he wants to know if your background in esports helps or affects your work with Twitch in any way?
So, the people I knew whenever I started esports, whenever I was doing Shadowrun and Halo, like Halo 2 and all that, a bunch of them are still, they're either working at Twitch, they're working in the games industry, or they're still doing esports, like, and doing content creation or something like that. Like, and this is like 8-9 years of like knowing them. So, I mean, my background in esports definitely has helped because I already know the people who are still involved with the industry today and with streaming and everything. So, I mean, it helps with relationships and just those connections in general. And other than that, I mean, I have way more context for whenever I'm helping people get front page that are within esports, if they're in FGC or if they're in they're related to first person shooters, whether it be within the North America scene or over in Europe. I have way more knowledge just because of that. So yeah, it's definitely helped a lot. I think if it affected adversely at all, I used to be a really what's it called? Like that kind of person who was like, you're such a pleb, why are you so bad at this game? I was a bad trash talker whenever I did esports, so.
Really?
Yeah, it was not fun. Like, I was not always nice. So maybe those connections are completely solid, but no. I already, like, resolved any, like, bad bridges, but.
I know, it's just interesting because I'm like trying to reconcile you and trash talking. It doesn't quite go together for
me. Most people don't know, thankfully. They did not see me back then. So we're good.
Okay. That is a part of Ash you don't get to know. I'm sorry.
Ever.
So we're almost to the end. And what we usually wrap up with, if we don't talk about an article or in addition to an article, is what we've all been playing or reading if our guest is not really much of a gamer. So since you are our wonderful guest, you get to go first. What have you been playing lately?
Cool. So I just finished Far Harbor. I was streaming it, but I got really impatient and I ended up finishing it like in the middle of the night. Oh man, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but it's good. Like, it's really long and really good.
Okay, because yeah. I've kind of heard that so some people, they liked it better than the base game.
I'm not surprised. I mean, like it is like, I mean, I hate any game that implements fog because it makes me think of Silent Hill and freaks me out. But like the game, the new landmass itself has enough in it that it's just like it's extremely challenging. So for people who are like doing survival or doing game mechanics or anything like that, they enjoy it on that end. And also, it has a way more in-depth story with choices, which is something that I feel like was undervalued in the base game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's how I feel about it. I mean, it's really a good game. I mean, DLC, whatever you want to call it. It's practically an expansion pack, so.
Okay. And what else have you been playing?
Star Wars The Old Republic. I've been making my canon Outlander for the rest of the Knights of the Fallen Empire DLC. So, uh-huh. I've been playing the same character for a long while, but I just could not progress with her because I accidentally romanced Lana Bonico instead of Theron. So, obviously, I will redo an entire playthrough just for a romance. So that's the person I am. So I'm redoing it.
No shame. No shame at all. David, why don't you go next? Because I know you also have Fallout 4 Far Harbor feelings.
Yeah, I have been I've been playing it quite a bit. I haven't actually finished it yet.
Oh,
though.
I thought you were done with it.
No.
Oh, shoot. No spoilers. Yeah. Don't worry.
I'm not too worried about spoilers. I have really been liking how they seem to have made it into a more diplomatic mm-hmm. game. Like, in general, at one point you have to go find this guy, and the map marker leads you to a group of the same random generic raider cannibals that are all over the island, but they don't immediately start shooting at you. Apparently you're allowed to talk to them if there's a quest.
I was actually really like, wait a second, they aren't hostile? Is this normal? Like, I feel like the problem with it is it's like with the base game, Fallout 4 is just kind of like, it was more of an action game than an RPG, and now it's like Far Harbor is an RPG, not so much an action game.
Yeah, it definitely is more so.
I haven't even downloaded Far Harbor. I probably can download it for the PS4. I haven't even touched it yet because I suck at Fallout.
It's not too bad.
Well, I'm glad they have easier difficulty so you don't even have to think about it. Admittedly, I use the easier difficulties.
I haven't.
Nice.
I actually really enjoy the survival mode. I think it adds a dimension to the game that it really
Are you liking
did.
The changes? Like, for survival?
When I first got to Far Harbor, my... when I first got to Far Harbor, my character had to... He was really thirsty, so he drank some of the water from under the pier. But yeah, it's... And it just immediately pops up in the corner that he had gained the infection parasites.
That's kind of gross.
I like the realism, though.
You know, there's some realism that I can do without. I have limits.
What if you could actually look at your stomach and you just see, like, the blotches because you got, like, a huge, like, infection? Oh my god, that'd be actually gross.
Nope. I'd be like, I'm done. I'm done with the game. You have crossed my threshold of realism that I do not need. I've been playing Uncharted 4. I still have feelings about Uncharted 4 that I'm slowly working through because I wanted to like Nadine and then I found out she was the antagonist. And we finally get a black woman and she's a villain. Thank you, Naughty Dog. And it's also still Shoot All the Brown People Simulator, which I'm struggling with because I feel really weird about that. Technically, it's a beautiful game. It's amazing. There are no cutscenes or load screens. Like, it is seamless. It is entirely seamless. It is an impressive thing considering the hardware in the PS4 is now a couple years old. So it is a technical marvel. It is beautiful to look at. I have other issues with the game. And since I finally got my graphics card to work, I have been playing Fenris as the Inquisitor because reasons.
Wait, like... Is it, like, modded? So yes. You see the Lyrium? Oh my god, you have the Lyrium?
Yes.
Oh my god.
I will send you screenshots when we're done.
Please. Yes. I didn't know that was a thing. Oh my
yes, god. There are... The DA fandom is plentiful and knowledgeable. So there are mods, many. There are actually mods for Concept Art Solus.
I saw that, and it looks hot.
So I might... put that in my game and stream some more. You never know. But that is what I've been playing. And what I may play more of, because I'm going to yet another convention, but this is an annual one that I enjoy going to every year. So I've got a couple days to get some gaming and streaming in before I leave town. Yeah. And sadly with that, we are at the end of our time, unless there's other stuff either of you would like to talk about.
I'm okay.
Just before we end the show, is there anything like... either of you want to talk about that we didn't discuss or you had thoughts about kind of as we were talking?
Thank you for having me on here. I mean, no, like, seriously, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun, like, talking about, like, everything with video games and the BioWare community in general.
It was awesome. I'm glad we had a chance to do this because it's so funny story as we end the show. I didn't realize that Ash was also a GamerX. Sitting behind me till someone tweeted a photo and it was like, are you sitting behind Cypher? And I was like, what? And I turned around, I was like, oh hey, you're here.
Yeah, so, it was at the Gator like panel and I just like happened to take a picture and be like, hey, I'm here. And they're like, yo, is that Cypher?
And I was like, yes, that is my hair. Who took this photo? And then we were like behind each other. So this is how these things happen. We run into each other randomly, and then months later, we're on the podcast. So with that, we're actually going to end the show with Ash. Thank you very, very much for taking time out of your Sunday night to talk with us.
Thank you for having me.
And if you could tell folks where to find you online.
So the three places that you can find me are on Twitter, which is @LadyInsanity, YouTube, which is Lady X Insanity, because thank you some random dude on the internet who took Lady Insanity, and on Twitch, which is also Insanity.
I can be found
David,
on Twitter at
you.
Red Conversation. I can be found at davidlreeves.com, which is my personal website where I don't really put much there. It's mostly just a contact form. If you need to hire an editor. I've worked as a fiction editor for 6 years now. Twitter, website. Oh, and I can also be found at patreon.com/redconversation, where you can support me if you feel so inclined. Or if you want to know, like, random trivia, like, it was the Romance Writers of America who really made it possible and lobbied for and campaigned for an author's ability to take their pseudonym with them when they leave a publisher.
The more you know. No, actually, I did not know that. That's actually really cool.
And you can see why that would be super important to romance writers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And as for me, I'm Cipher of Tear pretty much everywhere. Twitter, Twitch, Tumblr, except LiveJournal, because I've had LiveJournal like forever and a day. It's like my actual name on LiveJournal, which is no secret to anyone. So if you know my name, you can probably find me on LJ. Not that I've touched it in 3 years. And with that, we're done. Our next guest is actually going to be Liam Essler of GX Australia. So we're going to record with him after a break from recording next week while I am away conventioning. So thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you in a week. Bye.
Bye.